Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
Let's get elevated. This is your host, Heather Steppy with KC Hemp Company, bringing you all things cannabis to the hustle. I am so honored and excited to welcome our next guest from, well, I'll let you know after I let you know who's sponsoring our episode. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Without further ado, I would love to introduce you to the senior editor at Leafly, creator and producer and host at the Roll Up Podcast, Bruce Barcott. Bruce, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you, Heather. It's really a pleasure to join you and have a chat today.
I am so honored and thrilled to have you here on our cannabis series for the Startup Hustle. You know, one of the things that I found about cannabis is there is a plethora of information out there. Some of it always isn't right. Some of it is right. Some of it can't be found. You know, Leafly really does solve a problem for people who are looking for information or kind of looking to get more and learn more into the cannabis industry. But before we get too deep into what you're doing over there at Leafly, and if you haven't heard about Leafly, do yourselves a favor now, go check them out, leafly.com. But before we get into that, Bruce, can you give me a little bit about your backstory? You know, what have you done before? What brought you into cannabis and what keeps you sticking around?
Sure, sure. It's a long, winding road to bring me to cannabis. I come from a very traditional journalism background. I was kind of brought up in the 80s and 90s. I worked for daily newspapers. I worked for weekly newspapers. I worked for monthly national magazines. Most of my career I started out at an alt weekly in Seattle, and I worked then for Outside Magazine for about 10 years. I was an environmental reporter, and I worked on sort of outdoor adventure feature articles on expeditions and mountaineers and pro skiers and this sort of thing. And then I sort of transitioned. I sort of chased that environmental journalism angle and transitioned and worked for a number of magazines, National Geographic. I've done a number of pieces for the New York Times magazine and nice. And other places over the years. And I wrote a few books along the way, one about Mount Rainier, another about scarlet macaws in Central America. And then in 2012, my home state, Washington, decided to legalize cannabis for all adults. And this was a bit of a shock to me. Like, cannabis was never my thing. I had you know, enjoyed it a little bit in college, but it just wasn't my substance of choice. And in 2012, when we voted on it, I was really on the fence. I was unsure about what this meant. I had two kids who were just becoming teenagers at the time. Mm-hmm. And I ultimately, as I have said many times, I held my nose and I voted yes, and I hoped for the best. And then the writer kick in me kicked in, and I thought, wait a minute, this is like a historic global project we're trying here. And I started taking notes, And those notes turned into a book about the history of legalization and then how legalization actually happened and was rolling out in both Colorado and Washington State. The book's called Weed the People. And it did really well. It turned into a Time magazine special issue that was on the stands everywhere. After that came out, I wanted to continue writing about cannabis. I found it so fascinating. I mean, because both it was a real reverse course in history. And as a journalism, I felt really privileged to be there and to cover it. But also it was just, it covered economics, it covered politics, it covered medicine, it covered science, it covered botany, it covered all these areas. And at the time, this is 2015, there weren't a lot of mainstream outlets that were willing to actually cover cannabis or take on. I remember one national magazine, very well known, and I talked to their editor about this after a while, and he said, you know, those are great story ideas, and I agree with you, but we ran a story on pot last year, and the editor-in-chief just isn't going to consider another one for another year or two.
Wow. Like,
are you kidding me? Really?
Total missed opportunity there.
I know. And so at about that time, I had, in my book, I had written about Privateer Holdings, which was the company that was the parent company of Leafly. And Leafly had just sort of started up its content section at the time. And I thought, hey, you know what? If I want to cover cannabis full time, this might be a great opportunity. So I started talking with the folks at Leafly. They agreed to hire me. And we've kind of gone on from there. We started when I came on, it was a nice little blog. And we have taken it from there over the course of 6 years. And I've got to give credit to a woman named Rebecca Kelly, who is really the founding editor of Leafly Content. And she, along with our team, have grown it into really one of the most trusted sources for not just cannabis news, but cannabis information for people who need to know accurate data and information about cannabis.
Absolutely. And I mean, God, I've used Leafly. I don't even know how many times. It's bookmarked in my phone and on my computer. And I think that rings true for anybody in this industry, whether you're a business owner or you're a patient, you know, coming to learn information. I mean, Leafly really is the go-to resource for cannabis information. And for those of you who don't know what Leafly is, that's exactly what it is. It's a cannabis information resource and technology company. They have more than 13 million monthly visitors. Coming to find information. And give us a little bit of a rundown on the type of information. You know, you talked about the history a little bit, and you talked about information regarding cannabis, but what other types of information? I mean, you guys offer, you know, different strain breakdowns, you offer newsworthy information, things that are happening on a national level. So break down a little bit what other types of stuff your guys are offering.
Yeah, well, one of the things we're most famous for is our strain database. We have the world's largest database of cannabis strains, and we continue to add to it every day. And so people often come to us for that. Actually, I was just using it myself last night. I made a purchase and I was like, oh, what's this strain all about?
That's awesome.
But then we have we have a number of different, not necessarily verticals, but, you know, areas of focus. One area that's really become popular over the last couple of years is just simply information about growing your own cannabis. In a lot of states, you know, once legalization happens, you're able to grow maybe 6 plants at home. And people are curious, like, okay, well, what if I put a seed in the ground or a clone in some dirt, what happens? How do I make sure it doesn't die like all the house plants in my apartment, you know? and there's a lot to learn about growing weed. I mean, it's called weed for a reason. It's like it grows like a weed. But if you really want to grow good cannabis, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
And so that's one area. You know, we have a lot of information about medical conditions that are helped by medical marijuana. A lot of folks come to us for that because they really can't find that information anywhere else with any degree of real accuracy. There's WebMD doesn't cover it.
Right.
And the other sources that tend to write about conditions and cannabis, they tend to be very vague, or they're written for people who are using it recreationally.
Yeah.
And so like dosing is really important for medical patients.
Yeah.
Another area is just, we have investigative reports. You know, 5 years ago, we found that nobody was keeping track of how many jobs were in the legal cannabis industry. So we said, well, why don't we try to find out? And over the years, that has become one of our foundational reports. We bring it out every February. You know, last time we checked, 321,000 full-time jobs in the legal cannabis industry in the United States. Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, what an awesome, you know, just like you said, what an awesome opportunity to really kind of be in the middle of all of this as it's happening. You know, you're talking about the formation of a brand new industry or an industry that's now being brought into light. Let's put it that way. Right. The industry has not gone anywhere since Prohibition. It's just growing. Yeah. That's really funny that you talk about, you know, people, especially more recently, looking to learn how to grow their own plants because home grow, that's a huge topic of debate. And, you know, here in Kansas, we're one of the last three states to not have anything on the books. It is, it's so hard. We're working hard, but it's a struggle. But that's a very hot button topic here. What I always say too, is there's just as much therapy in growing the plant as there is in consuming the plant. And I think people are learning that and they're finding that out.
We saw that, especially last year during the, you know, the first year of the pandemic. I was just like, oh my God, I am gardening my brains out because, you know, it's something to do.
Right.
It's safe. And it truly is therapy. And also, you know, we find a huge amount of interest, especially in newer states, like right now, Virginia. So Virginia legalized recently, but there are no legal stores. There won't be legal stores for at least another year or so, but it's legal to grow your own. So Virginians are now like, oh, hey, wait a minute. It's legal to grow my own and possess and consume for all adults. So how do I do it? It's easy to think about, but how do I find a seed? How do I find seeds in a state like Virginia? Where do I go? Is it legal to buy a seed? You know, and that's where Leafly comes in. Because one of the things that I used to talk about with a couple of other editors is that when we would see reports from other media outlets on cannabis that were just absolutely just laughably false. They were just like so uninformed. And I said, like, this is our paycheck being reinforced. When we read these articles, like our market advantage is we actually give a damn about the accuracy of the information and the clarity of the information we're providing to our readers.
Yeah. So let me ask you about that because, you know, my husband and I own KC Hemp Company. We are a CBD manufacturer and processor here in Kansas City. Absolutely looking to get into the legal cannabis market once it becomes available. But one of the things about information is we're very restricted on what we can say and how we can say it because of the supplement type of product that we create. So, you know, I know Leafly isn't making products and selling them, but you guys do have links to sold products on your pages. And you have like an entire shop section on your website, correct?
Yes.
So how do you guys, I mean, cause the, like I said, the information that comes out of Leafly is top tier. So how do you kind of get around that, you know, being able to provide this information and talking specifically about medical conditions, you know, those trigger words that we can't use and on our side of the business, how do you do that?
Yeah. This is hard ongoing work. Sometimes it's funny. I had a conversation with somebody in our who's a data analyst for us here at Leafly last week, and it was a good nature conversation. But he asked me about a certain page that had a lot of data and information on it. He says, "Where's this data? Where's this data coming from?" And I said, "It's coming from our brains. Like not like we're not making it up.
Right.
Like, we have to go out and report this. Like we're calling up." Officials at regulatory offices and in different states and saying, you know, what's your latest data on, you know, sales or medical marijuana registrations, number of patients, that sort of thing. And, you know, the language you're talking about, this is something that, you know, I've had a conversation with our corporate counsel about over the last few weeks. Like there are little tweaks here and there that we may need to make in our language to comply with different state regulations and federal regulations. And that's not a one-time thing. That is ongoing.
Right.
And it really does take both attention to detail in terms of new laws coming on, new policies coming out, but it also takes Simply getting on the phone and calling up like an official in the Colorado State Regulator's office and saying, hey, listen, we've got questions about this word or this wording. What's your policy? What's your reading here? And not just sort of guessing and, you know, go hoping that nobody notices.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that's what separates you guys from other people. So it makes you the top of the line.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's fantastic too. I mean, you know, the grow side, the medical side, and then let's dive just a little bit into this cannabis strain database. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know or are not normal cannabis consumers, there's typically three different variations of strains: sativa, indica, hybrid, one of them being more uplifting, one of them being more relaxing, one of them kind of falling somewhere in between there. So how did that database start? And, you know, with all of these home growers, with all of these small businesses who are, you know, creating their own strains and their own genetics, like what do you have to do to get on said database?
This is really where the company started. Many years ago, prior to my joining Leafly, there were essentially, you know, three guys in a garage, and they started just compiling names of cannabis strains and putting them on their site, and they called it Leafly. And this over the years grew and grew and grew and grew and continues to grow, as I said, every day. We have a whole team that takes in, you know, nominations and suggestions for new strains. We get those from growers, we get those from retailers. And, you know, because of the hybridization and sort of, you know, the cross-pollination, everything that goes into growing cannabis and finding new strains, it really takes a number of people hustling all the time to keep that up, keep that current. And then really, because it can be so confusing and there's so many strains, we will bring together bigger projects. Like we just refreshed one of our most popular articles is 100 strains, or the most popular 100 strains of all time.
Nice.
And we started it years ago as 100 strains to try before you die. And somebody said, you know, that's a little dark.
It might be a little on the morbid side.
we went with the best 100 strains of all time. And, you know, we just updated it for the first time in a couple of years, and they change over time. We also have an annual strain of the year that we announce in December. And it sort of, it's a combination of data we receive from, you know, millions of readers typing in, you know, looking for strains at Leafly to find what's the most popular strain using algorithms. And it's also that's combined with our on the ground reporting. I mean, we have amazing editors like David Downs, who covers California like absolutely nobody else. He's, you know, he's in the stores every week in there finding out what's new, what's hot, what people are interested in, that sort of thing. So we try to bring those out. And it's almost like the, what's the color of the year? You know, the color of the year comes out every year, the Pantone color of the year. And so the strain of the year has become something like that in the cannabis world.
That's awesome. I am excited to find out what this year's is. I can't wait to sell it once I can finally do that in Kansas.
I think Runts and Wedding Cake have been the last couple of strains of the year.
Ooh, so interesting.
Really interesting. Yeah.
We actually just made a product with Wedding Cake terpenes. That's been a big focus for us within the CBD world is, you know, really trying to capitalize on that entourage effect, which, states the more you have from the plant, the better. And so we've been experimenting with terpenes and it's been really fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Everybody's loving it. All right. Well, let's not forget that today's episode is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. So on that note, I want to kind of switch a little bit over and talk about what you're doing with your podcast. So the podcast, The Roll Up with Leafly, is you're hosting and you have two other co-hosts. Is that correct?
My co-hosts are Alyssa Yeoman and Hannah Staten. We tape toward the end of each week and we drop every Friday at 4:20.
Nice.
Appropriately.
Very.
And you know, we've been doing it. We're on about our 207th episode at this point. So we've been doing it for a number of years. It started out as a as a strictly cannabis news podcast. It was me and two other news editors at Leafly sitting around mm-hmm. talking. And it was basically like three bearded white guys sitting around talking about the news. And can I tell you, when we first started out, boy, did we suck. Terrible. Maybe it was like, maybe you had this experience, but when we started, this is one of the things I love about Leafly is there's a lot of freedom to create and try new products and to fail. And I said, well, why don't we try a podcast? You know, how do you do that? I don't know. You know, I went down to Guitar City and bought, you know, three microphones, a recorder, and we just started talking, you know.
That's awesome.
And it took us a while to learn how to talk with each other and what was interesting and what wasn't. And then, you know, for the first year or so, it was very newsy focused. And then my two editors moved on to other jobs. And I was sort of faced with like a dilemma of, okay, what do we do with this now? Do we go strictly stay with news or what? And I thought, you know, I want to bring in some sort of fresh voice or voices. And so I went looking for, I started searching for a comedian. I needed somebody. I wanted to find somebody who was comfortable with cannabis and was funny. And I just started like literally diving into like YouTube little clips of folks in the Seattle area who were on stage talking funny. And I happened to find this clip of Alyssa doing a performance at this little venue called the Rendezvous Room here in Seattle. And she had a cannabis bit and awesome. She was funny. I was like, okay, I have to try to recruit Alyssa. And she came on as a guest first. And then I kept inviting her back and back and back. And she's just fantastic. She's been our permanent co-host for a number of years now. And then we also invited on Hannah Staten, who runs our social media platforms. And, you know, now it's a really nice mix. I'm like, you know, an old middle-aged and older bearded white guy. you know, Alyssa's a black woman from Seattle who grew up in Alaska. And, you know, Hannah's this woman who has an amazing Midwestern background. Like she's from Indiana and she'll tell you all about it. All about it. Right. And that has really opened up the show. Like it's opened us up to so many more topics and points of view and life experiences. It's really been incredible. We've really, especially in this last year, you know, we've talked to a lot about, had a lot of difficult conversations about cannabis and diversity and the difficulty mm-hmm. of getting into the industry if you don't Absolutely. Have a lot of money. And these sorts of things. Yeah. So it's been an incredible learning experience, and our audience has come along and grown with us over the years. It's been really satisfying.
Oh, I'm sure. And I mean, those conversations are so important to have, you know, especially in the climate of today's world. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you're talking about inclusion and social justice and criminal reform and, you know, all of the various ways that cannabis can bring people together.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty in this plant, especially now that we're seeing on a national level, you know, everything's really growing into itself and you're seeing people that are drawn to this plant from all walks of life, everything, mm-hmm. you know, you've got people who believed in, you know, the Cheech and Chong mentality mm-hmm. of, oh, the only people that use cannabis are, you know, stoners and they're lazy. And then you've got people who are using it for their first time. I mean, so you're really bridging quite a gap with this plant. And that honestly is one of my favorite things about it. It's a beautiful thing.
I love it too. I love the way in which I think that, you know, my journey with cannabis started as a writer, as a journalist, just watching other people and talking to other people. But really, the personal journey for me has been amazing, and I'm so thankful for it. It forced me to confront so many assumptions that were deeply held, and I wasn't even aware of them. So many stereotypes. It's made me aware of so the amount of stigma that's out there, not just around the plant, but around the plant, especially for other people who don't look like me.
Right.
And it's also helped me, especially on the podcast. I think you know, we've had moments where we've talked about how difficult it can be to talk with your doctor about cannabis. Even, you know, even if you're a cancer patient and you want to know about medical marijuana, you know, it can be really hard. And that led us down an amazing conversation about the differences in which the different experiences a white man will have talking with a doctor versus a white woman versus a black woman. Right. And it was like, oh, wow, that's such an amazing conversation. And as you say, like, having those conversations is important. And I feel like we three, by having those conversations, and they're difficult sometimes, even between the three of us, we're halting and stumbling. And by having them, we're modeling those conversations for other people. We're saying, look, you can do this. And it's not easy sometimes, but this is how we start, you know, getting a little better.
Yeah. And if there's anything that we've all learned over the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, it's that having hard conversations is necessary. So learning how to do it and, you know, maybe choosing a topic like cannabis or something that you're a little more comfortable with and starting those conversations is key. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. 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 And I've learned, I still talk too much on my own podcast. I'm getting better. I'm working at it, but you know, there's so many rich conversations, as you mentioned, that come out of just bouncing off a topic that you would never have expected.
Right.
And so that's what's been great about the show is that, you know, we started just talking about news articles that appeared on Leafly. And in a way, it was sort of like rereading the news.
Right.
And now we sort of like start with a news nugget that's been on Leafly and we really dive into it and go off on it. And we're able to talk about it in a way that really transcends what we're able to write on the page, because what we're able to write on the page is a little more official, you know,
right.
It's a little more permanent. You're a little more careful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in conversation, you're allowed to make mistakes. I mean, you're not allowed to just like flat out lie and tell fables, but
right.
You're allowed to stumble and work with what you know and have, you know, have other people reflect back your ideas to you and comment or criticize or help you out. And it really has been amazing in that sense.
Yeah. So let me ask you, are you guys recording in person? Are you doing like what we're doing right now, where we're recording not in person?
I wish we started out recording in person, and we had a great conference room at the Leafly office. I had all these acoustic tiles and baffles in the room.
Nice.
It was fantastic. And then the pandemic hit.
Right. Yes.
Oh my God.
The pandemic. So, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now, you know, we've been virtual ever since, you know, since February of 2020. And in fact, Hannah joined us around that time. So we have actually never recorded the podcast, all three of us live in the same room together.
Oh, and gosh.
We're going to have a great celebration when we can finally do that. But yeah,
yeah.
You learn over the years how to make it work. But yeah, that's in person's a dream.
I know. And, you know, I am so blessed to be able to speak with so many people on this podcast. I do it via video and, you know, recording. But when you can't be in person, this really is the next best thing. And if there has been one really awesome thing that's come out of COVID, it's that we can still stay connected face to face, you know, and see facial expressions and be able to read people. And that's something that I feel like has been missing for so long in the digital world. Everything was email, text message. But now, even when I'm talking to people, I'm like, I'm going to send you a Zoom link so that I can look at you, because I feel like I get more out of that because people speak with their eyes.
Yes.
And there's so much to be said about that and how to read them.
I feel like we've all been forced to become kind of kabuki actors in a way during the pandemic, because we're on these screens. It's just us, our head and our hands is what really we have, you know? And it makes me really appreciate, I remember my sister and her husband were both trained actors, and they're in different fields now, but that acting training they received and that experience has done them so much good in their lives and careers over the years. I've seen it. I mean, the way that they can communicate, as you say, with their eyes, with the tilt of the head, you know, with their hands is really it's a powerful skill to have. And you know, we're all getting a little better at it, but
yeah. Sometimes my face communicates things I don't want it to. So, you know, that's a double-sided coin.
that's what that video mute button is for. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, So I want to backtrack a little bit and talk about, you know, the information that you guys are providing at Leafly. So how, as such a large platform, how do you handle that information that you put out for, you know, everybody? You've got newcomers who've never used the plant, want to do a little research on it. So you've got a little bit for them. You've got people who have been using the plant for 60 years, but maybe want to dig in a little bit more to the technicalities of it or learn more about the strain. So how do you balance the tension there between those two types of people and the information that you're able to put out?
Yeah, that's the classic. That's the classic dilemma and challenge. You know, how do you create a warm, friendly, welcoming space to newcomers without turning off or disrespecting people who are highly experienced and have been doing this for many, many years? And, you know, for me, that question began with my book. And I learned that very quickly that this was back in, say, 2013, 2014, 2015, the sort of early boom years in Colorado and Washington, when so many entrepreneurs coming into the space came in and said, we're going to turn cannabis clean. We're going to bring the soccer moms in. We're going to create clean stores, and it's not going to be like it was in the past. You know, forget about the past. And at the same time, like, everybody who was actually growing and producing and had built this infrastructure of the plant cannabis and all these strains, they had been there and stuck their necks out when people like me had not, you know. Right. And I learned that there was a amount of respect that was due to those folks and is due to those folks. And so we're very cognizant of that at Leafly. Like I say, you know, we have an idea when we're writing an article who we're writing it for. You know, many of our Cannabis 101 articles are there for my mom and dad. Like, they're for folks who are coming in, know absolutely nothing about cannabis and want to know the basics in a very clear way. On the other hand, we've got articles from, like I mentioned, you know, David Downs, our California editor. He's got a column called The Buzz that comes out every month. And it's all about what is happening in California cannabis. And he's like the master of that. And he's going right to the people who are, you know, the leaders in that culture. And he's speaking to those folks who were the pioneers and are the experienced folks. And we also, you know, we'll write articles about dabbing or different forms that are higher potency, this sort of thing. And when we do that, you know, we're aware that people who are enjoying dabbing tend to be more experienced with cannabis, with THC, with dosing, that sort of thing. So yeah, we're aware of it. And the language we use is always upbeat, friendly, respectful, sometimes a little cheeky, but always, I think we're very aware of language. It's one of the things I love about working as an editor at Leafly is language conversations are happening all the time. What words we're using, why we're using them, what words we're not using specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's key for anybody's business too, especially in this space.
Yeah.
And finding that niche, you know, our customer base is very niche compared to the types of people that you're getting over at Leafly, which is incredibly broad. But it's such a great resource. And I mean, just personally, I would know as near as much as I do about cannabis had it not been for Leafly. And even really being able to kind of dig down into research and everything, you know, 9 times out of 10, Leafly is a jumping off point for me. And I think that's true for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's so much fun to take this plant, this product, this substance, this culture that has been proactively obscured for more than 80 years because of prohibition, and to all of a sudden to bring it into the light and explain very clearly what these things are. Whereas, you know, the whole point of cannabis culture was to obscure, was to make mysterious, and you're not really sure what you're getting because it's illegal and all this sort of stuff. And yeah. And so it's really been a pleasure to be able to just demystify so many things. It's fun every day.
Yeah, that is such a good word, demystify.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, that's one of here's a kind of a weird way to look at it, but one of our sales strategies for our company is education. I feel like the minute somebody actually learns about the plant, about terpenes, about the different cannabinoids, then it's kind of a no-brainer. You know, cannabis sells itself. The more you learn, the more you become educated, the easier of a decision it is for you to try it. I mean, it's a plant. It's a healing plant. So really kind of demystifying, shining that light deeper into the industry is key. And it sounds like that's the secret sauce for Leafly.
It is. And one of the things we've also learned, I think, over the years is that, I mean, it's for me and the, you know, the content department at Leafly is all about, you know, first of all, delivering accurate information to readers. But in doing so, we're building trust.
Right.
And that's in this industry, that is so important. It's critical, building trust. And, you know, just like the fact that we're talking here on a podcast, your listeners are getting to know you, and your customers, your company are getting to know you. And so you're building a huge measure of trust between yourself, your product, and your consumers. And I don't know how to, you know, if you put that in dollars and cents, but it's huge, because so many products still in the legal market are unknown or coming from unknown sources. You know, there's no Amazon in our business. There's no, you know, there's no Coca-Cola, right?
Right.
There's no
right.
Pepsi, where we know this is a trusted company. We know what we're getting. You know, Starbucks, I brought a Starbucks mocha to this interview. I know what I'm getting.
Right.
I know, you know, what's behind that product. And the more you know and have trust in that product, the more, you know, you feel comfortable buying it and enjoying it. And we're in that stage right now with cannabis, where the establishment of brands through whatever means you can is critical. And, you know, you mentioned advertising and how difficult it can be to find outlets for advertising.
Yeah,
and you know, that's where where Leafly lives as an advertising space. And, you know, I tell people sometimes when a state goes legal and all of a sudden they see all these billboards around town for a dispensary, and they're like, why are all these billboards up trying to sell me weed? I'm like, listen, they're up because that's the only place they can advertise. Like, seriously, there's no other way to let people know you have a store open in your town.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had several people get into this industry and they call me in a frantic, you know, tizzy. And they're like, we can't do anything. My Facebook's been shut down. I'm like, I've only been telling you guys this for years.
Yeah.
It's a son of a bitch, but
it's
starting to kind of get better. So I want to, you know, you're talking about the Starbucks, right? That Starbucks model where you buy a Starbucks in Washington and that same drink is going to be exactly the same that I'm going to get here in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have that structure yet with cannabis because it's still a scheduled drug. You know, there is no interstate commerce that's allowed to happen. You know, there's that whole immaculate conception with seeds in new states. You know, there's a lot of really, there's a lot of really interesting pieces to allowing the sale of a scheduled drug on a federal level. So there's a lot of movement going on in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of discussion on, you know, descheduling, the Banking Act, all of these really great things. You know, from your perspective and what you know about the industry and Leafly, I mean, how do you see that impacting states? So more specifically, you know, Kansas being one of the states that does not have a program. How do you see that descheduling and that interstate commerce piece coming together and working either for the good or the bad or the ugly or the better, you know, what do you kind of see from that, from that standpoint?
Well, the good news and bad news is for a state like Kansas is even if federal legalization happens sort of via one of the leading bills that are in Congress right now, Kansas really would have to still legalize itself, its own laws. Like essentially the bills in Congress would take the federal government out of the cannabis prohibition game, as they did with alcohol, you know, back when we rescinded alcohol prohibition, Congress essentially said, we're out, states, you handle it as you please. And so, you know, that's how we get, you know, 50 states, 50 different wacky alcohol laws.
Right.
You ever been to Utah? Oh, right. That's a strange one. So that's what would happen. But like you said, you know, in a weird way right now, federal prohibition acts as a bit of trade protection for smaller operators, for smaller companies, because cannabis is so state bound. We have some companies that are, you know, what we call are called multi-state operators, who basically move their brand from state to state. But
right.
you cannot move the product from state to state. You can move hardware. You can move everything except the actual cannabis plant or cannabis oil. You cannot transport that. So once federal legalization happens, all of a sudden, you know, all those people who were growing cannabis in places that it's not really that natural or economic to grow, like, say, Arizona, a lot of sun but no water,
right.
They run the risk of essentially being washed out of the market by growers in, say, Southern Oregon, Northern California, where they can just grow freaking miles of weed in the sunshine every year. And but at the same time, there's a reason we grow corn in Iowa and Nebraska.
Right.
You know,
and wheat in
and
Kansas.
And wheat in Kansas, and we don't grow wheat in New Mexico.
Right.
And there's a reason for that, you know?
Yeah.
So we're still, federal prohibition still sort of acts as a foundation for a bit of an unnatural market in that
yeah.
way, in where cannabis is grown and how it's, you know, it's constrained from being shipped from state to state.
Yeah. It's so funny because I feel like that's also a double-edged sword, you know, for smaller businesses. I think it kind of gives you an opportunity to get in and get established versus having just large businesses who can afford, you know, that multi-state model to come in. So, but it also sucks. It should not be a scheduled drug.
Yeah, I know.
So
it really,
it's like,
yeah.
damn, yeah. lose, win, you know, yeah. however you want to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and you know, I wrote a piece a while back about Amazon and how Amazon has, you know, made an announcement a few months ago that it was going to stop drug testing its employees for cannabis. And it had formally come out in favor of federal legalization. And it was as actually actively lobbying in Congress in favor of legalization. And, you know, that obviously begs the question, is Amazon going to get in and sell cannabis as soon as it's legal? It's like, well, yeah, they're damn sure going to try.
Absolutely.
They are, you know. But
Papa Bezos is going to get some money on the cannabis.
Exactly. So, but it may not be as easy or simple as they might think. As I think anybody who jumped in to legal cannabis thinking, oh my God, it's a gold rush. I'm going to make scads of money. I'm like, guess what?
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
It's not easy in any way.
Sorry.
And, yeah. I mean, you know, Amazon tried, they tried a model a while back of delivering alcohol. You know, when they bought Whole Foods, Whole Foods came with a number of liquor licenses, you know, the ability to sell alcohol. And so they've tried sort of an alcohol delivery model, and it hasn't really taken off for them. Not to say that cannabis delivery wouldn't do well. It does well, you know, already in small markets.
Right.
But it's not an easy, oh yeah, we'll just come in and take everything over kind of situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like you said, it's hard. People don't realize quite how hard it is until they try, even for the Amazons of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for being with us today. I want to take just a minute to remind you that today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale, helping you build a software team quickly and affordable. You can find us on Instagram at the Startup Hustle Podcast or check out our YouTube channel. And in case you didn't know, we have our own TV show. You can head on over to YouTube, search up Startup Hustle, and you can watch myself and fellow founder cast members share the real story of what it takes to start, build, and grow a business. Bruce, thank you so much again for coming on, talking to me about Leafly, talking to me a little bit about the cannabis industry. I look forward to continuing this conversation with you, hopefully one day in the future. And I'm just really glad that you came. So thank you.
Thank you, Heather. It's been a real pleasure. I love talking with you.
Awesome. Thanks. All right, you guys, check me next Friday for more Cannabis to the Hustle. Have a good one.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.